You are listening to the No Formula Podcast, episode number 8. Eloise Gagne was a corporate lawyer for 15 years before becoming an executive coach. In this episode, Eloise discusses the importance of defining your personal mission statement, the impact of having a positive mindset, and the definition of self-leadership. She also reveals how several influences, like her childhood household and even her law degree, led her to become an executive coach. Learn more about how to work with Eloise at lifebyeloise.com. In the meantime, continue listening to hear about her job transition and about her passion for helping others.
The No Formula Podcast offers a glimpse into the lives of real entrepreneurs who possess a variety of experiences and backgrounds. Through raw conversations, learn about their passions, journeys, setbacks, and milestones. Join host Laura L. Bernhardt as she confirms that there is, in fact, no formula to success. Get inspired and stay motivated throughout your entire journey. Subscribe today.
What I do know about you is that you were a lawyer for 15 years.
Yep.
And then you changed paths.
I did.
Can you tell us what happened?
Yeah. You know, it's funny because it kind of happened in a very gradual way. When I was working as a lawyer, I worked internationally. So I traveled around the world, mostly in the Middle East, but also a lot like in London and Switzerland and other places. And I found myself very drawn to people that had built great businesses and that were generally happy. So when I say great businesses, I'm not just talking about bottom lines or profits. I'm talking about a place where people were happy to go to work and had created an amazing corporate culture. And I was like, how did these people build this, right? So I was there and I was going in as the lawyer, but then I would kind of take advantage of my position and be like, hey, can we talk? Can I get to know more about you and your business? And so eventually I started coaching and I didn't know what I was doing. Through my questions, I was helping them find new paths and new solutions. And then somebody came up to me and said, well, why aren't you a coach? And I was like, a coach? But like in my mind, I used to do triathlons, right? So a coach was a coach, my swimming coach or my, you know, running coach or whatever. And then I started digging into it. Oh, this is so cool. Like, I can do this. And about a few years ago, I had a decision. My father passed away and I worked with my dad. And I had a decision. I was like, well, do I continue the family business and keep going on my path, like as a lawyer and continue the business? Or do I start this new venture? And I said, you know what? I've had such a great time in the past few years doing it unintentionally that now I'm going to do it intentionally. And that's how I switched careers. It was really like just a progression of what I had been doing for years unknowingly.
So while you were being a lawyer,
yeah,
you were unintentionally giving them advice on how to grow their business.
Yes, because I had been in it and like my mom's an entrepreneur, my dad's an entrepreneur,
mm-hmm.
my grandfather's an entrepreneur. He used to, you know, dig up wells. And so entrepreneurship is in my blood.
Yeah.
And I would read books. You know how people would read novels? I would read on corporate culture. I would read on organizational strategies. It's just something that really interests me. And if I didn't read that, I would read on emotional intelligence.
That's very interesting.
Yeah, right? My sister's a psychologist. So, and my dad had a bachelor's in philosophy. So the type of discussions we'd have over dinner were like business and human potential. And it's just like,
not your typical
Sunday night dinner, right? So after church, and church was mandatory in our house. So it's always something that interests me. So when I was sitting down with corporate leaders and I could see that something was bothering them, I would tell them. And when you're a lawyer, you're protected by, you know, the client lawyer privilege. So people felt they could trust me with information about their business. And I was very, very humbled by that. And so I would start asking the question, well, did you see it from that angle? And maybe if we changed your mindset, because I was very big on reading on people's mindset and not just positive thinking to say it's positive thinking, but just how you can change how you view things to reach a solution. So instead of saying, for example, how can I fix this problem? We'll say, okay, well, what solutions can I work with? Right?
Wait, can you give us an example?
Okay, so let me see an example.
Putting you on the spot.
Yeah, no. No, it's good. So let's say that you're launching a product, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you launch it and crickets. Nothing. You launch it into the wild and nothing happens. And you're like, okay, well, how can I fix this? Right? You're going to be like, oh. So instead of focusing on the problem, see, okay, what solutions do I have to make this product known? Could I go and give a workshop? Could I go and give a free talk? Could I reach out to people that have podcasts or other ways of getting my product out there?
Mm-hmm.
Right? So when you focus on the solution instead of the problem, and you start writing down all the resources that are made available to you, first of all, you're in a much more positive mindset because you're like, I'm looking for something right now.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you write it down, maybe you'll write down 25 ideas and 15 of them will suck, but you just come up with 10 great ideas and maybe you'll work on 3 of those. But if you had focused on the problem, you're already in a closed mindset when you're like, well, how do I fix my problem? Well, the word that keeps coming up is problem, problem, problem.
Yeah.
Instead of saying, what solutions do I have? What resources do I have available to me? How can I make this happen for myself for this product that I just launched?
Yeah.
Right?
That's a great way of looking at it.
Yeah. So sometimes
you just change your own mindset and you might come up with a solution.
That's exactly it. And a lot of people don't know, but you actually have all the wisdom you need within you. Like, you have all the answers in you.
That's a powerful statement.
Yeah. It's true. And just people are not confident enough to know that about themselves. So it takes somebody like me from the outside. And when you talk about CEOs that have big corporations, you may think their problems are bigger, but they're just the same as the starting entrepreneurs. They're just different. And they're sitting there and they're going, well, how do I fix this? And I'm like, okay, well, let's look at it differently. And then the more you get them talking, the more you ask them questions, they come up with their own solution. And they're like, that was such a great idea. I'm like, that was your idea. Like, you came up with that because you have that wisdom within you. You have that knowledge within you.
Mm-hmm.
But you need somebody to help dig it out.
Yeah. To see their potential.
Yeah, to see their potential. And you know a lot more than you think you know. Whether it's through experience or something you read or something somebody told you, or you were just in a random conversation with somebody at a Starbucks.
Mm-hmm.
And that all of a sudden, that conversation gets registered somewhere in your brain, your subconscious, and then you let go of it. But there's little nuggets of wisdom and gold in there that when you start digging and you look at it from a positive perspective, it'll come back to the surface. And you're like, oh, shoot, like this person shared this with me,
mm-hmm.
and this is exactly what I need to focus on right now.
Yeah.
So that's pretty much how I got started and got into coaching. And human potential is something I'm fascinated in.
Yeah.
Because I truly believe, and I think I said that during my presentation, like I truly believe that everybody right now, if you're right here, then that means that the world needs your gift. Like, you have a special gift and it's your duty to share it with the world.
And then, guys, the crowd went wild.
Yes.
That's what happened. So your official title is executive coach.
Yes.
So do you only help CEOs, people in the C-level, or do you help startups?
No. I help. That's why I didn't want to say, because you have coaches that say C-suite level coaches,
yeah.
And I think that's great that they only help executives,
mm-hmm.
but I say executive coaching because to me, when you have to take an executive decision, you can be a solopreneur, an entrepreneur, an intrapreneur, anybody that has a business, whether it's within a corporation or they're starting something out on their own. Yeah, so those are the people that I work with.
Mm-hmm.
And an executive coach is just different from a life coach. And life coaches, they're great,
mm-hmm.
But they're really focused just on your life. As opposed to an executive coach, I'll focus on your business. I'll, inevitably work on your life also, because the two will intertwine at one point,
mm-hmm.
right?
So you were a lawyer for 15 years.
Yep.
Turned into an executive coach.
Yeah.
What were the first 6 months like?
Hell. and I say this and I mean hell because I think whenever you start a business, I think that there's a whole world out there on social media that makes it look like being an entrepreneur is the end all be all and the holy grail of anything you can do in your life. And if you're an entrepreneur, you've made it. And I find that very funny because they hide the hustle that is required and necessary.
Yeah.
To be an entrepreneur. And it's that no quit. And I'm going to quote like a very philosophical movie. It's Baywatch, with The Rock. And I remember watching that movie and there's a kid, and I forget his name, but he's trying to be a lifeguard. And he sucks. Like, he's horrible.
Was it Zac Efron?
No, it wasn't Zac
Efron. Okay.
He didn't suck. It's the other one, the one that was the geek.
Oh, I don't remember.
Yeah, him, you don't remember. Yeah, it's not Zachary. And at one point, The Rock, you know, very philosophically says, I like him because he's got no quit in him. And the kid would just, he wouldn't quit. Mm-hmm. Like, he'd fall in the sand, he'd get up, and he'd get back on it, and he'd do it.
Yeah.
And I laughed, and I looked at my husband, and I'm like, that's exactly what it is to be like, to be an entrepreneur.
Mm-hmm.
It's, you can't have quit in you. You have to keep going. And I don't know why I'm quoting The Rock again. And it's not like as if he's, but he's made it. You know, he's literally went from having $7 in his pockets to being who he is today. And he
yeah.
said, the road to success kind of feels like you're getting body shots and punched on a daily basis.
Mm-hmm.
And the difference between the person that's going to make it and the person that doesn't is the person that's going to keep going at it. And so when I started off my first 6 months, I literally felt like I was getting body shots. And I told my husband, and I looked at him, I said, I must be on my way to success, you know, because I feel beaten up. Because if in my way, some people were having a hard time adjusting to the fact that I was a lawyer and I was a coach. And they're like,
oh,
how does that transition? So people weren't responding well. So I had to really put myself out there and really network and work really, really, really hard. And I think I contacted over 2,000 people to work with them,
mm-hmm.
and two came back to me and said, well, we might be interested. And then you're at that point, you're like, do I quit? I contacted like everybody I know, you know? Like, so do you quit and just go find like a regular job? Or do you say like, no, wait, let me see, like, what have I done that didn't resonate with people? You know, how did I present myself or present my offer in a way that I didn't get the response that I was looking for? So I knew what I wanted to do, and this is something that I say to all entrepreneurs, and that is very important, is whatever it is that you're starting a business for, don't make it about money.
Yeah.
Don't make it about money. And I'm gonna tell you why, because everybody says, don't make it about money, but I'm gonna tell you why you can. And that is because when you get 2,000 no's, if you're just in it for the money, you're going to look for something that's going to make you money right away,
mm-hmm.
right? You're going to be like, screw this crap. Like, I'm going to go get myself money somewhere else.
Yeah.
But if you do it because you believe you can add value to people's life, and that's what I believe. I believe that beyond the inspiration and beyond the motivation, it is truly that I can help people grow themselves and their business. Create a place for people to be happy in a corporate culture. And to me, that has the greatest ripple effect. Because if I grow your business and create an environment for your employees to be happy, then they're happy to go to work. And if they're happy to go to work, they're a better family person. And that makes their families better. So do you see like the ripple effect that it can have?
Mm-hmm.
And so that's what drives me. I'm like, even if you say no to me, maybe you'll say yes eventually, because I know that I have something to help you. So when I looked at it after 6 months, I'm just like, okay, I need to rework on how I do it. So what is my solutions? What are my resources? How can I go about this to change how I position myself? And to me, it was a question of positioning. I had positioned myself as a leadership coach.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody was like, well, we talk so much about leadership. Like, we have all this covered. And I was like, that's not really what I do. And I had to get really clear on what I do. And that's what I tell all the entrepreneurs, be crystal clear on who you're targeting, what your message is, what you're going to be talking about, how are you going to help people? That's your main point. What is what you do helping others? Because if you're not helping others with your product, your service, it's not going to work. Because if you're not helping me, why would I hire you?
Yeah. So you had to go from leadership coach
to an executive coach focus on entrepreneurs developing their business.
Wow.
So it got very narrow. And it's scary to go narrow because you're like, oh my God, like I want to help everybody. And that was my thing. I want to help everybody and I can help everybody. And
mm-hmm.
and I don't want anybody to feel left out. I don't want anybody to feel like they can't come to me.
Mm-hmm.
And then I thought, I'm actually helping nobody right now. You know? I'm helping nobody right now. You know, so I'm like, how about I start helping the people where I have the most knowledge and where I can bring the most value?
Mm-hmm.
And then I started asking myself, what kind of knowledge do I Like, what do I bring to the table for someone? And then I started jotting down, again, with the mindset of, what value can I bring to you? What value can I bring to your business? And then I started writing down all my experience. And it wasn't about, oh, look at me, like, I'm so amazing. It was just, what value do I have to bring others, right?
Yeah.
And then when I did that, I'm like, hey, well, entrepreneurs, I've been an entrepreneur since the moment I was born because it's just who my family is. So I know this. I know how to build a business from the ground up. I know how hard it is. So this is where I can help people with. And my dad being, you know, a huge mentor to me and having had studied in theology and philosophy, I had that other side of, you know, the human development and the, you know, the theories on human potential. So I was like, I'm going to marry both, and that's how I'm going to help people. And when I got crystal clear and my message was like, this is who I'm targeting, then things really started taking off for me. But it took that time. And that's when I say, if you are in it for the money, that moment where you get 2,000 no's, that's where you're going to quit.
Yeah.
That's where you're going to quit.
So after you basically defined your value proposition.
Yeah.
And then you went back out there.
Yeah, exactly.
Did it take another 6 months? What was the process like after?
You know, it's really funny because I laugh at it now. I had actually put a pin on Pinterest on this course that I had just launched, and it was like an email course. And I was like, it's 30 days, you get 30 emails every morning. And I remember going to bed that night after I had written my mission statement, and I really dug on what my values were, my vision, and what I wanted to create for myself, but also I wanted to create this business. What did my business represent? And I went to bed that night and I prayed, and I remember saying, you know, I know religion is a touchy subject, but for me it's something that's really important. I prayed and I said, if I'm on the right path, like if I'm on the right path, if I'm following something that I'm supposed to do, some people say follow your bliss. If I'm following, just show me something. Show me something that things are picking up. And it's so funny because that night somebody clicked on my pin on Pinterest and bought my online course.
So that was your sign.
That was it. I woke up the next morning and I'm like, I'm good. I am good to go. I got somebody bought my thing on Pinterest. I am good to go. And from that time, and then literally from that moment, I kept working harder because now I'm like, okay, like now I know I can do this. And it just started taking off.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Isn't it? It's just funny. But you have to, I'm not saying if you don't get a sign, quit. That's not at all what I'm saying. But sometimes when you open your mind to see what's around you, sometimes you'll be able to notice opportunities that had you not opened your mind, they would have passed by you. Little things, like you'll check your LinkedIn account or you'll call a friend and they'll say like, hey, there's a networking event. And they'll be like, you'll get this little hunch of, oh, maybe I should go. And that little hunch is you being guided to like, hey, there's something for you that's there. Why don't you go check it out?
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah, that's true.
So it's, you have to follow these moments of bliss, and you have to know within yourself what it is that you want to bring and why you want to be an entrepreneur. And it has to be for more than the glory and the bling bling. It has to be really something. Because I see it all the time on Instagram. And people are like, oh, that's so cool. You're an entrepreneur and you're a coach. And I'm just like, yeah, I don't know how these coaches do it on Instagram, but that's not at all what my life looks like. You know? So.
Well, that was actually my next question.
Yeah.
Can you give us a rundown of what a day in your life looks like?
Yeah, sure, absolutely. So bear in mind, I have a 3-year-old and a 1-year-old,
oh,
right?
Oh, so, that's so cute,
yes,
though.
Thank you. So my life is maybe different from a lot of, but I say different. No, because everybody's got responsibilities. So mine are just different types of responsibilities. Mm-hmm. So here's a rundown, and this is legit how my day goes. Okay, so I wake up at 4:30 in the morning. So I knew I was going to get that reaction, right? So the reason I wake up at 4:30 in the morning is twofold. Mm-hmm. I believe the morning is the most precious and special time of the day because there is a quietness in the morning that you will not find at any other time in the day. And if you look at yogic tradition, it's called the Brahman hour, like the godly hour, right? Which is before the sun rises. And
like 3 hours before the sunrise.
I'm up super early, so I'm up at 4:30. So before I get out of bed, and I don't, by this time I don't need an alarm clock. Like my body just wakes up because I've been doing it my entire life.
So I'm sorry, what time do you go to bed?
I am in bed. I'm in bed at 9:30, and then I read until like 10, and then lights out at 10. So I sleep from 10 to 4:30, but my little one still wakes up in the middle of the night. So
okay.
So when I sleep, I sleep from 10 to 4:30.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I apologize.
No, but
it's 4:30.
I wake up at 4:30. So before my eyes open, like my body's awake, I always say what I call my gratitude prayer. So I'll say the things that I'm grateful for. And it could be the things that I was grateful for the day before, or the day, and it could be something as silly as, I'm so grateful that it is nice and warm in my bed right now.
Mm-hmm.
It is really the little things. I try to be grateful for the smallest little details, like the fact that my golden retriever is sleeping at my feet, and that makes me feel safe and loved, right?
Mm-hmm.
The fact that my husband is next to me, the fact that my children are still asleep. You know, I'll look for the little things. And then once I've done my grateful, I'll say my prayer, and I'll meditate, and I always say thank you for the opportunities that are showing up for me today. As if the opportunities had already happened. As if I had 100% certainty that day, opportunities were going to happen for me. It's not even a question in my mind, something good's going to happen. Somebody's going to call me, or I'm going to be surfing the internet and something's going to pop up. I tell God, the universe, whoever it is that, you know, you correspond with, I'm telling them, like, thank you for everything you're sending to me, because I know you're sending me stuff today. So I'm going to say thank you right now for all the stuff that's going to happen today. So by the time my feet get out of bed, I'm in the best mood ever, because I'm grateful, I am thankful, and I prayed and I meditated, and so now I'm energized, right?
Mm-hmm.
And at 4:30, nobody's going to call you, right? So this is my time to work, because my children wake up at 6:30. So 6:30, quarter to 7. So I have about almost a little less than 2 hours to work. And this is where people say, don't look at your emails. No, this is where I want to respond people. This is when I want to send them information, so that when they get to work, I'm right there in their inbox.
Yeah,
right?
You're already there.
I'm already there. Or I'm on their phone. I'm on their voicemail. Like, they hear my voice first thing in the morning. I want to get that done. So all the work that requires focus and attention, I get it done right away in the morning. First thing. So if I'm working on a blog post or a free template to download for my website, anything, I'm going to get it done that morning. My presentation that you attended, you were at, that was done for 2 mornings from 4:30 to 6:30. Because that's
a great presentation.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Because that's where all my energy and my focus and my juices are. Because I know that I'm not gonna be disturbed. So I have my coffee, and then my golden comes and, you know, rests on my feet, because he's not gonna be up at 4:30. He's like, no, I still need to sleep. And then by the time my children wake up, I'm like, all right, let's go. Like, I'm all happy, you know, like I go get them, I'm like, ring! You know. And it's hilarious because my husband's like, don't talk to me until I've had 2 coffees. But I'm that person in the morning. And so they wake up at 6:30. I spend time with them, which is so important to me, because I'm very intentional about my time.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if I'm with you right now, I'm with you. I'm not thinking about what I'm going to have for dinner. I'm not thinking about returning phone calls. I'm with you. So when I wake up at 4:30 in the morning, I'm with my work. Then when my children wake up, I'm with my children. I'm on the floor. I'm crawling. I'm playing with them. I'm not picking up my phone.
Mm-hmm.
I'm intentional about the time that I spend. And then when they go off to daycare, I go to the gym. And that is super important. And I remember, I don't remember if I read it or if I saw it, but somebody said that Barack Obama never missed a workout, right? He worked out every day. And I'm like, if Barack Obama can be the president of the United States and find time to work out, I, Eloise, can find 45 minutes in my day to work out.
It's a great way of looking at it.
Right?
If Obama can do it, so can we.
If Obama can do it. When somebody that has to deal with, like, Russia and China and poverty and everything,
mm-hmm.
and he can get in his gym for 45 minutes a day, I'm like, you can get your ass, sorry, you can get your butt in the gym. Right. So that's what I do. So the minute like we drop off the kids at daycare, I don't negotiate with myself. People start thinking like, oh, should I go? No, no, shut up. Like, don't talk to me. Like, I tell this to myself.
Yeah.
Do not talk to me. I do not want to hear your excuses because it is too hot. It is too cold. I am hungry. I'm tired. I have so much shit to do. No. Like, I don't listen to myself. I go.
Just do it.
I just do it.
So you think about Obama every morning?
I literally do. I think Obama quite a few times a day because I just, he was a big idol of mine, and I respect what he did. Whether, you know, whatever your political views are, I think that, you know, him and Michelle created something because they want to create value for others. But I think of Obama every morning of just get up, just, or Nike, just do it. You know, like whatever resonates with you, but people will literally talk themselves out of doing things. Like, if you had just followed your hunch and do it, you would probably have a very different outcome than talking yourself out of it for like 5 to 10 minutes and then just like, oh no, finally, you know, I don't feel like doing it. Because everybody's got a million excuses.
Yeah.
Everybody's got them.
So for the people who do that,
yeah,
what do you recommend them do instead?
Shut up.
But
it's true because there is no remedy to stopping your thoughts. You have 60,000 thoughts a day. That's 2,000 thoughts an hour. You're not going to stop them.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's just not going to happen. Unless you're a monk somewhere sitting on the top of a mountain, that's just not going to happen for you. So you have to change how you go about your thoughts. So if you do feel yourself giving yourself, stop yourself and tell yourself like, hey, no, wait, it's okay for you to be harsh with yourself. I know there's a whole movement of self-care out there and you have to take care, and I agree with it, but it's also okay to be a little bit hard with yourself, and that's where discipline comes in. And when you hear yourself coming up with all your excuses, you could say like, hey, I'm gonna take you for example, Laura. Be like, hey, Laura, you know what? Enough with the excuses. You are worth going to the gym. You are worth getting healthy. You are worth getting your butt in that on that treadmill. You are worth it, okay? And if that doesn't work for you, I always say, try to picture the person that you want to be, okay? Mm-hmm. What would that person do? That person that you're craving to be, that person that runs the business and that build this great, is a great entrepreneur. Does that person work out? Is that person disciplined? Does that person wake up in the morning, return their call, go to the gym, eat healthy? Is that the person you want to be? Okay. That's the person you want to be. What do you think that person does? Do you think that they sit at home and watch TV and waste hours on social media? No. So do now what that person would do. Because that's how you're going to get there. That's how you're going to get to be that person. It's by taking those little steps every day. People think about the big changes. I want to change my life. I want to change. No, change the little things. I went to see Sebastian Maniscalco on Friday.
Oh, we went?
It was amazing. And he's talking about his wife being on a diet. And she's like, I'm not going to eat dairy anymore. I'm going to, you know, stop dairy. He's like, how about you try not to eat Reese's peanut butter cups until Wednesday? How about that? You know, how about you let go of the dairy?
Until Wednesday.
But just like, and it's true. Some people are like, I'm going to overhaul my diet. No, just get to the gym tomorrow. Don't think about the day after or the day after or the next week. Just do the right thing today. And then you'll worry about tomorrow. And I put it in your agenda. Write it down. This is a date with yourself. You wouldn't cancel a date with your friends or with your boyfriend or husband or whatever if it was important to you. If you really wanted to see your best friend, you'd get there. If you really wanted a date night with your husband or your girlfriend or your wife, you'd get there. So why are you slacking on yourself? Why are you canceling on yourself? Don't. You're worth it. So that's what I tell people. Take if you can't change your mind, if you can't tell yourself to shut up, if you're trying to envision the person and it's still not working, then love yourself enough to respect your word to yourself, like you would to others. If you say you're somebody of integrity and authenticity, then prove it. Prove it not to others. To yourself.
Some people would would hear you say this and say, oh, well, there's so many people who show up for everybody else, right?
Yeah.
Whether it's on Instagram and they like show off their life, like you mentioned before,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So I feel like now people are kind of getting messed up with what they're getting shown
mm-hmm.
with the lives of others and
yeah.
comparing themselves.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
What would you recommend for the people who are looking at these other people on Instagram, on social media, and are saying, oh, my life sucks because this person has a yacht or is on a boat or
yeah.
has a mansion? What would you tell these people?
First of all, that's envy, right?
Mm-hmm.
And envy is not the same as jealousy. Envy is not only do I look at what you have with jealousy, but I believe, part of me believes that you don't deserve it and I do, and I don't have it.
Ooh,
that's the difference. Envy is ugly.
Mm-hmm.
Envy, because it puts you in a position where you're in a very negative state. Because not only do you not want the other person to have what they actually, or they show that they have,
mm-hmm. yeah,
but now you feel like there's lack. So you're creating a mentality of lack, like your life is lacking something. Right? And so, first of all, if social media is having such an effect on your life, it's a free app. Instagram, Facebook, it's all free. Delete it. If it's bringing darkness in your life and negativity in your life, it's a free app. Just delete. Go on. Don't look at it.
Do you know anyone who has done that?
Yeah, I actually know a bunch of people that
okay,
have done
it.
Yeah, and they're like, my life is so much better. And they started progressively. Like, they would delete one social media app.
Yeah.
And then they would see how they would feel about it. And then they're like, oh, this is great. And then they would delete another one. And then by the time they reached the second, they're like, their whole social media was deleted. And they're like,
mm-hmm.
now I feel like I can live my life without having to compare it to others.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you're not at that stage where you're like, it's really bringing negativity, it's just every time I scroll. Think about it this way. What kind of picture of yourself do you post on Instagram? Do you post like the regular everyday picture, or do you post like the best pose with the nicest smile while you don't look bloated and you got your nicest outfit on and your makeup's done, and, right?
Yeah.
You post that picture.
Mm-hmm.
So what do you think other people do?
The exact same thing.
The exact same. So that's not a reflection of their life. That's a glimpse of what they want you to see, because deep down we all seek approval. We all seek to belong. Somewhere. We want to be seen and we want to be heard. And social media allows us to do that, but for some people they take it so negatively. So when I look at things, and sometimes, and I'm not immune to it, like I'll look at it and I'm like, wow, that's awesome. The first thing I say is, I'm so happy for that person. Like I send them good vibes right away. And I've taken social media breaks. I was like, I need a break from social media, especially in the coaching world where you feel like everybody's a coach and every coach is making it. And you're like, I actually know that to not be true.
Mm-hmm.
So that's impossible, right? And I was just like, I need to take a break. And then when I was on my break, I'm like, oh, I miss it. And then I was like, okay, so I'll go back to it. And now when I see something, even if it's fake, I'm just like, I'm so happy. Oh, I'll see a family and they all dress their kids the same. And I'm like, I know how hard that is. Like, that doesn't happen in my family. So I'm like, kudos to this woman. Like, she worked hard to get that done. Like, this is so hard to get all three of them smiling and dressed the same. And, you know, and the dog is sitting down. This is phenomenal. So that's how I approach it now. So I encourage people, when you look at social media, first of all, if it's turning your life into like a big black mess, delete it.
Mm-hmm.
Delete. It is not worth your unhappiness. Second of all, if you see things that you like somebody that's on a yacht, you know, throwing money up in the air and popping champagne, like it's crazy, just be like, hey, you know, congratulate that person. You know, you probably worked hard to get there, because every single person that's successful, it didn't just fall on their lap. They worked for it. And I'll give you an example. I'm not a UFC fan, but my husband loves Conor McGregor,
mm-hmm.
the UFC fighter. And he's worth a lot of million dollars, right?
Yeah.
The man gets punched and kicked in the face for a living, okay? And he trained for years with no money to pay rent.
Nothing. So when I see him in his bling bling outfits and getting everything tailor-made and you know, popping boobs, or I'm like, hey, congratulations. Because you get kicked in the face for a living. So I'm happy that you get to enjoy this. So when you see that, also see all the effort and the work that went behind it. And be happy for those people. Like you would want people to be happy for you.
It's changing your mindset.
It always goes back to that.
Yeah.
It always goes back to changing your mindset. Because if you send good vibes out, good vibes are going to come back to you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I want to go back to lawyer turned coach.
Yeah.
When you compare yourself as a lawyer versus you as a coach, do you see the same person?
That's a very good question. Wow. I see the same person not expressing the same talents.
Okay.
Okay. I think that I've always been geared towards others. I think a lot of lawyers are, you know, like you become a lawyer, the definition is to help others, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I just see now that I've tapped into a deeper meaning of my life and I tapped into a greater potential that I have. And I think that before, as a lawyer, I was on a very cerebral level. Like, it was brain power.
Mm-hmm.
And I was dealing a lot with tax issues. So it was like international tax treaty. I have a master's in tax law,
oh,
right? So
that's difficult.
Yeah, so it's, that's why I say it's very cerebral. And that's what I loved about it. It's because it was so hard and it's problem solving. And then when I became a coach, my problem-solving capacity is still there. That's what I love. But now I see a lot more of my human side come out. But it's the same person. And I say this, and people are hate when I say this, but it's true. You are the same person. You will never change the person that you are. There may be some things about you that you don't like, but that's not who you are. When people say, well, I'm an alcoholic. No, you're not an alcoholic. You have an alcohol problem.
Mm-hmm.
But deep down, you're probably a phenomenal person. You have these amazing qualities and talents that are within you. You just probably haven't expressed them yet.
Mm-hmm.
So when people say, I've changed, no, you've discovered who you are. You've discovered your potential. You're expressing your talent. But that was always within you. You just found a different way to express it. So I think I was the same person. Now I'm just expressing different sides of me. And I love those sides. The more human side, the more connected side, without giving up my problem-solving, loving brain.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, so I think I am the same person because I don't think you can fundamentally change the person.
Okay.
Right? Not to confuse with like bad habits or
mm-hmm.
bad behaviors or bad environments or, you know,
mm-hmm.
really truly who you are deep down.
Yeah. And I also wanted to ask you before, when you said that you grew up in a family of all entrepreneurs.
Yeah.
And then you ended up being a lawyer with your dad.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Did you ever think you were going to be an entrepreneur?
Yeah, there was no doubt in my mind.
Oh, okay.
There's no doubt.
Yeah.
There's no doubt. And I became a lawyer, and it's funny, because my dad said, well, do you want to go to law school or do you want to go to law school?
Oh.
So.
Lots of options.
Lots of options. So
yeah.
I remember I had applied in philosophy, mathematics, and law.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And then I got accepted in law and my dad was like, okay, so we don't care about the others. And like, I have to say, if you listen to this, you're like, well, she listened to her dad. My dad's been my best friend since I was 3 years old. Like,
aww.
We were inseparable. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, and my dad always viewed things from a mentor's perspective. My dad didn't care for the title.
Mm-hmm.
He said, the way law is going to structure your thinking, your writing, your ability to problem solve, that's what I want to learn. He's like, I don't care if you become a lawyer. Don't do the bar exams. What I want is you to develop a way to think, speak, and write. That's what I want for you. He's like, afterwards, you can do whatever it is you want. But yeah, when I was a kid, I started making, I think I was 10 years old, I was making clothes for my doll. And I was trying to find a way to sell them. So.
Oh my God, that's adorable.
Yeah, you know, Cabbage Patch Kids?
Yeah.
Yeah, I would make clothes for them, and I would like draw them. And my mom was very good at that. She would provide me with everything that I need. We'd go to like the fabric store together, and we would look at fabrics, and
Yeah, so they nurtured that in me, right? Mm-hmm. They nurtured my creativity and what I wanted to do. But to me, being an entrepreneur was never a question. And to reinforce the point, I actually had a job, and I say I had a job, where I worked for an accounting firm. And that lasted 9 months. And I did my job well, but I was always trying to find a way to get new clients or provide new services for clients. And I was a junior. Like, I had no right doing that. And I got reprimanded for it. And they're like, you know, why don't you just do your job? And they were right. They were right. And I said, well, I don't want to do that job. I want to do this. Like, I want to go out there and I want to get clients and I want to, you know, explain what kind of services we offer and I want to... And so I called my dad and I'm like, oh, I don't think this is for me. He's like, well, thank God you realized it. Because, you know, he didn't want to tell me. He wanted me to create my own path. So yeah, being an entrepreneur, it was always something that I knew I was going to do. It was just, there was no question in my mind. And I'm an extremely hard worker. I easily, before I had kids, easily worked 80 hours a week, 100 hour weeks. I've done those, didn't mind them at all. To me, it's more had to have the capacity, the freedom, and the creativity to do something that I believe in.
Yeah, I think that's what it's all about.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I went on your website.
Yes.
Eloise.
Lifebyeloise.com.
Lifebyeloise.com.
Yes.
And you discussed several concepts.
Yeah.
What stuck out to me the most was self-leadership.
Oh, that's awesome. I'm glad you brought that up. Yeah.
Yeah. So can you talk to us more about that?
Yes. Okay. So leadership is big, right? We always talk about leading others with, you know, compassion and being able to listen, because leaders before were these like hardcore, almost dictatorial people, and that's how we envisioned them, right? Or we envisioned them as Martin Luther King, you know? And delivering great speeches and then having crowds of people follow him and being a great leader. But when you look at leaders, you often look at what they express outwardly, right, towards others. But the thing is, if you don't know how to lead yourself, you won't be able to lead others. Because people will follow authenticity. People will follow someone that is disciplined. Like, would you follow somebody that's exactly like you, or would you follow somebody that looks like you, acts like you, but just achieves something maybe a step or a few above, and you're like, "Ooh, I want to do that too," right? Mm-hmm. But how did they do that? How did they get there? And that's where self-leadership comes in. Self-leadership, we're talking about owning your decisions and owning your life, owning how you got to where you are right now and where you want to go. We're talking about being proactive. Leaders will always be proactive. They will always take the decision first. And it's not always an easy decision. And it's not always an easy path to follow. But you have to give yourself that discipline. You have to train yourself to have that discipline. And that's why we talk about self-leadership. You have to know how to lead yourself first. If you don't know how to set goals clearly and follow through with them, how are you going to tell others to set goals and follow through? You're full of crap then. And people are going to see through that like that. They're going to be like, well, what about your goals? How do you reach them? You can't dictate what people should do anymore. You have to show by example. And by showing by example, you have to build within you the talents, the habits to get there. And that's what self-leadership is all about. Be your own leader first before trying to lead anybody else.
If I remember correctly, the presentation you gave at the networking event that I met you at was about your mission statement.
Yes.
So that kind of goes in with self-leadership.
It does.
Right? You have to have a very clear mission statement to propel yourself forward or to success in order to lead not only yourself, but then others.
Absolutely. And it goes so far to have a good mission statement. Like, if you know what your vision is, if you know what your values are, if you know what you want to create and what your purpose is, when you come to build your business, you have already the foundation of what you want your business to be. And if you're an entrepreneur and you work within a company, look at the company's mission statement. Is that something that resonates with you? Look at the brands that you bought. the stores that you buy from. Look at their mission statement and you'll notice how on the majority, they resonate with your own core values, right?
Yeah.
Like I personally would not buy from a company that uses a lot of harsh chemicals just because that's just not part of my values, right? So I noticed the other day I was doing an inventory of everything I have in my house and I'm like, you know, things that I buy are unconsciously aligned with what I believe in. And that's the type of business you want to be. You want to be a business that has such a strong mission statement, such strong values that people will identify with your business as if it was like, hey, you know, if I was to start a business, I would do that because that represents me. That is me in a bottle. That is me in a soap bar. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But that's what it is. And that's what goes back to when people say creating your brand. People are like, oh, I'm branding myself. I'm branding. What is it to create your brand? What's your brand? Your brand is you. And when you say your brand is you, then your brand is your values. It's your vision. It's your mission. And that inevitably becomes your company's brand. And it goes through the entire spectrum. When you look at real estate brokers, for example, mm-hmm. some of them, their values are service. It's not about forcing you to buy this house. It's about, let me give you the best service so I can find a home for you and your family to live, you know, happily ever after in. And that it's because that's who they are, so that becomes their brand. So people that are starting businesses that are looking to, don't look at what others are doing. Don't look at how Kylie Jenner is branding herself or, you know, look at what's your values? What do you want to accomplish? What's your mission? What's your purpose? How does your product or service fit into that? And when you build that, you'll start building a tribe of people and a community of people that relate to those exact same values. And that's how you're going to grow. And those are actually end up being your idol, like your ideal clients. Because they're people that share a commonality with you, right?
That's true.
Yeah.
Okay, those are good tips for practicing self-leadership goals.
Yeah.
But is there something that people can do on a daily basis to, because maybe they don't know how to lead themselves or be mm-hmm. disciplined. What are some daily tips that you can recommend that people can practice to kind of reach that potential, reach that stage?
I think that first you have to have a goal. Okay. Mm-hmm. And then people, we're in November and I just feel December coming and then January 1st is going to come and people are going to write, you know, their New Year resolution and everybody writes a New Year resolution.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm part of those people, but I write it in December because
mm-hmm.
when January hits, I want to hit the ground running, right? So I write mine in December.
Already a good tip.
Yeah. Right? So write it in December. Don't write it in January.
Yeah.
But so here's a few tips. First, write a goal that is for you.
Mm-hmm.
And what I mean by that is, If one of your goals, and I'll take losing weight because it's on like 99% of people's New Year resolution. Are you losing weight because you think you should lose weight? Are you losing weight because you think your partner would find you sexier if you lost weight? Why do you want to lose weight? Is it really for you? And then if it's for you, is it because you want to feel healthier? You want to feel happier? You want to feel better about yourself? Go to the core of what your goal is. And if you're not at the center of that goal, it is not your goal. Move along.
Mm-hmm.
Choose another goal. And be specific about your goal. So if your goal is, let's say, to start a business, and you're like, okay, you know what? I've wanted to be an entrepreneur for such a long time now. I want to start my business. Perfect. Do you want to be an entrepreneur for yourself? Or do you want to be an entrepreneur because it's cool to be an entrepreneur right now?
Mm-hmm.
Are you willing to put in a lot of work? Are you willing to hustle for your business? And if you answered yes to all those questions, you're like, no, I really, really want to be an entrepreneur and I'm ready for it. I know what's lying ahead of me. You know, perfect. Then once you've done that, be clear on the type of entrepreneur you want to be. You have to be down to the nitty gritty of what your goal is, because that's the only way you're going to reach it. And then once you've had that goal, so let's go back to losing weight because it's super easy, right?
Mm-hmm.
You lose it. Okay. You want to lose weight for yourself because you want to feel healthier and you want to feel more confident in your body. Perfect. How much do you want to lose? 10 pounds. Perfect. 10 pounds. What are you going to do to lose those 10 pounds? You're going to go to the gym 3 times a week. you're going to eliminate sugar from your diet and you're going to wake up at 7 o'clock in the morning to get all that done. See how precise I went?
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't just, ah, I'm losing weight. It was, I'm going to work out 3 times a week. Yeah, it's fancy. This, I'm going to cut out sugar. Perfect. Then make a plan of what you're going to do every day. So if you're the type of person that has 3 creams and 4 sugars in your coffee every morning, start for the first week, cut it down to 2. It's by taking little steps. People, remember my Sebastian Maniscalco, let's overhaul, let's remove the dairy. No, you know, cut the Reese's Pieces for 3 days. It's about the little steps that you're going to take over time. And people, it's so important to say that you need to be, and this is a lesson for all entrepreneurs and all the goals that you have, you need to be consistent and you need to be persistent. Yeah. So let's say you cut out the sugar from your coffee for 4 days, and on the 5th day, somebody, you know, at your office or wherever, goes at Starbucks, knows that you like a bunch of sugar in your coffee, loaded it up, gives it to you, you drink it, you're like, oh crap, that's fine. Don't be hard on yourself. Tomorrow's a new day. Start fresh. Cut out the coffee. Cut out the sugar. Don't go tomorrow and say, well, you know, I just messed up. I might as well, it's Wednesday. I might as well go until Monday.
I've done that.
Exactly.
This week is over. I screwed up this week. You gotta restart.
Exactly. The worst is when you go to like a breakfast conference and then they have donuts and sugar coffee, and then you have a donut, you're like, there's my day. And I might as well have pizza for lunch and, you know, whatever else for dinner. But you're like, no, I've had the donut, that's fine. Let me get back on track. And it's about being consistent and persistent and just shifting your days. And I talk about the law of the 1%. So I didn't know this. I'm gonna tell you this.
Okay.
In aviation, okay. If you leave from your origin and the plane shifts by 1% their trajectory, it can mean the difference between landing in Montreal and landing in Brazil.
What?
Yeah. Over the course of the flight, if you change direction by 1%, it's going to change the entire outcome of where you land. Isn't that insane?
That's crazy.
Right? So when I read that, and I'm like, that's what life is. If every single day you change your course for the better by just 1%. 1% is one decision. No sugar in your coffee. Telling yourself to shut up in the morning and get your butt into the gym. That's small. If you look at 24 hours, it was a fraction.
Mm-hmm.
It's your 1%. Just shift it. And every day shift it a little more and a little more. And that's when you'll reach your goals. And that's when you'll make your business happen. And that's when you'll become the entrepreneur. It's not about the big bangs. It's not about the big launches and things that you can put out on social media. It's the little things you do every single day that's going to make the difference.
Every day.
It's every day. When you're an entrepreneur, you're not an entrepreneur 5 days a week. You're an entrepreneur 7 days a week.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's important to understand. That doesn't mean you're in front of your computer and you're working 7 days a week. It means that even on the weekends, your brain is going to function in a way that you want to grow your business. You'll meet somebody for dinner and they'll have an idea and you'll be like, you'll take out a notepad. And I have notepads with me everywhere. As you too. Exactly. And I'm sure a lot of you out there are like that. You'll jot down notes because you want to bring value to others. So you're like, oh, you know, my listeners would like this. Or the people that are buying my products would like this.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to write it down. So you're an entrepreneur 24/7. So if you're an entrepreneur 24/7, and you can literally change the course of your life by taking small decisions every day. It's huge, right?
Yeah. That is huge.
Yeah.
So just to recap for everyone.
I've said a lot. I can talk a lot.
For self-leadership.
Yes.
You have to make sure you create a goal that is for you.
Yeah.
Not for anyone else.
Yeah.
They have to be specific.
Yeah.
Take little steps every single day, referring to the 1% goal that you just mentioned.
Yeah.
And being consistent and persistent.
Yes. Can I add one more thing?
Yes.
Be intentional.
Ooh.
Be intentional.
That's a good one.
Because I see it too often. People have goals and they are things that they want to achieve. But then they'll be working on their goal, but then their phone will ring. Or then something will attract their attention. Or
shiny object.
You know, and it's just be intentional. If you said that you were going to the gym, if you said that you were getting on that call, if you said that you were, you know, going to listen to that webinar, do it.
Yeah.
Like, do it. Do it intentionally. Do it and be there. And that will do wonders to work on your focus and your discipline. But it also will do wonders for you because you'll be like, hey, I can do this. I can accomplish this. And that will have such a dramatic, in a good way, ripple effect in your life. Because it's when you see yourself succeeding at the little things, you'll be like, hey, I don't have to take 4 sugars in my coffee. I can take 2. And oh, look at that. I can take 0. And oh, I don't need that cream. And wow, I function so much better now that I'm not eating so much sugar. And I'm so proud of myself.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And then because you've created that, this is where leadership comes in. This is where your self-leadership, you've built it for yourself. Then you can tell somebody else, hey, I know how hard it is, but look what I've done.
Yeah.
You could do it too. And then people will start following you. And they'll be like, oh my God, that's awesome. I want to follow that girl because she's done something that I want to be able to do. That's where you lead others. You start leading yourself.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So, yes.
I have a very interesting question for you.
Oh, hit me with it.
The name of this podcast is
yes.
The No Formula Podcast.
Yes.
Because there is no formula to success.
Absolutely.
So you believe in that?
Absolutely, 100%.
Okay.
If there was a formula for success, there would have been one book written by one author that would have said, do this plus this equals success, and everybody would be successful.
Yeah.
But no, there's underlying truths that follow success, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like being persistent, being consistent, having discipline, and working hard. Like those are the foundation of success. I have yet to meet someone that was successful. Even books that people I haven't met that are extremely successful that haven't worked hard, sacrificed, failed.
Mm-hmm.
That's another thing as an entrepreneur. Don't be afraid of failure. You're going to fail. And if you don't fail, you're not trying hard enough.
Okay.
Fail. And then, but how you build from that is as unique as your gift, as unique as you are. There's no straight road for success. There isn't. There's just the foundation that's the same for everyone.
Yeah, that's a good way of putting it. So looking back at your whole journey and where you got to today, where you are right now, what do you think is the one thing that got you here?
Learning from failure. And I think people are afraid to fail because it hurts, because it's a stab to your ego. But if you look at it, you're often afraid of failure, not because of you, but because of people around you. I'm going to fail, so what is so-and-so going to think of me? If I fail, is my partner going to think of me? It's often, when you dig, it's often related about how your perception, you feel others are going to perceive you. But if you're not willing to fail, like, was it Edison? It took him 1,000 tries? Well, what if he had stopped at 800 or 700? Or best, if there's a child in your life that's just starting to walk, look at them. Do they quit and say, you know what, I don't think walking's for me. I'm just going to crawl for the rest of my life or sit on my butt for the rest of my life. No.
Mm-hmm.
They get up. They fall. They get back up. They fall. And what do they do the next day? The exact same thing. Because they're learning to coordinate their body. It's the same thing when you're an entrepreneur. But if at every failure, you're like, oh no, this is not, you start questioning yourself and you start, oh, this is not for me. Maybe I'm not made to be an entrepreneur. Maybe this is too hard. No. Look at it and be like, okay, so this was a total disaster. All right. Let's be honest. Don't hide from it.
Yeah.
This is a total disaster. I've messed up, like this is a huge failure, perfect. What can I do differently now? What did I do this time that didn't work so well?
Yeah.
How can I modify it? How can I approach it differently? What are my resources? That's what you look at.
Mm-hmm.
And I can tell you that I've always grown from every single failure. And I've had some massive failures in my life. Massive failures. And my massive failures taught me how to negotiate. My massive failures have taught me that, hey, I'm worth fighting for. Like, my goal is worth fighting for. It taught me how to reposition myself. It taught me how to look, you know, I was telling you, 2,000 people said no to me.
Mm-hmm.
But I still know the value of what I have to offer. So how do I present it differently? Right?
Yeah.
But if I had considered that to be a failure and my end-all be-all failure, then I wouldn't be here and I wouldn't have met you and I wouldn't have been able to give that presentation. And so many good things that happened to me wouldn't have happened. Right?
Yeah.
So it's really about learning to embrace failure. Be like, you know what? I'm going to go all in. And if I fail, I'll fail. That's fine. It'll teach me something. And I'm going to keep going.
Yeah.
And it comes back to your mindset. It comes back to your mindset. You know, people have failed and went bankrupt and came back and were heroes and triumphs. And we celebrate them, right?
Yeah.
We celebrate the person that has failed and come back and has succeeded, yet we don't want it to happen to us.
Yeah, we're too scared.
We're too scared. We're like, no, it's good that you failed and succeeded. I'll clap you. But as long as that doesn't happen to me, well, how do you want to get there then?
Yeah.
How do you want to get to where that person is?
You're not even going to try. Right?
If you're not even going to try.
Yeah. Before we wrap things up.
Yes.
Are there any last pieces of advice that you want to give the audience?
Oh, there's so much. There's so much to talk about. We spoke about it at the beginning, and I think mindset is everything. And if you want to have one of the key ingredients for success, one of the key ingredients, it's always going to start with you.
Mm-hmm.
Because no matter if you're starting your business from scratch, or if you have a business and you have 5, 10, 15 employees that depend on you, you're at the center of it. So if you come in with a positive mindset, a solution-oriented mindset, an attentive listening mindset, like when your employees talk to you, you listen attentively with care, that's going to change your day. It's going to change the day of others. It's going to radiate and have a ripple effect through your business and everything that you do. So make sure, my one nugget of advice would be, make sure when you wake up in the morning, because nothing has started already, give yourself that 5 minutes to be thankful and grateful for what's ahead. So no matter what happens throughout the day, you've had that 5 minutes of peace and happiness.
I think that's great advice.
Okay.
Well, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for having me.
This was awesome.
Good. I'm glad you liked it.
Before ending this episode, I want to take a moment to highlight some key themes from this interview. Embracing failure, being intentional and shifting to a positive mindset, self-leadership. The fourth one is acknowledging that hunch you get, telling yourself that you need to go to the gym, because it is your guiding light and it is helping you make small progress every single day. And finally, when you really want something, you go out and get it. When you really want to see a friend, you won't cancel. So do not cancel on yourself. Check out lifebyeloise.com and stay tuned for next week's episode of the No Formula Podcast.